I just want to bring to you a scripture that some of you may be familiar with. That's in Isaiah chapter 19, the last few paragraphs, which speaks about a future time. And I'm going to begin, this is Isaiah 19, beginning with verse 18. In that day, five cities in the land of Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear by the Lord of hosts. One will be called the city of destruction, and in that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border, and it will be a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and He will send them a Savior and a mighty one, and He will deliver them. And then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, and will make a sacrifice, an offering. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it. And the Lord will strike Egypt. He will strike and heal it. They will return to the Lord, and He will be entreated by them and heal them. And in that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian will come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptians will serve with the Assyrians. In that day Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of a land whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed is Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Now, there might be a lot of things that have to happen before this day comes. I don't know. Or this day might be just around the corner. But there's coming a day. We're speaking about Egypt, one of the Islamic nations today, one of the nations in turmoil today, being called the people of the Lord and being one with Israel. We're talking about Assyria. What is the kingdom or nation of Assyria? Well, essentially, if you look on a map, it is the nation of Iraq and the nation of Syria. Now, what is one of the most hostile countries on the face of the earth to Israel? Syria. What is the nation that right now, where there is all kinds of turmoil, as this Islamic group is trying to establish this Islamic nation in Syria and Iraq? But the scripture says Assyria will serve with Egypt. Assyria is going to be the work of my hands. And Israel will be one of three with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of a land. So there is some ammunition you can take into the warfare, into intercession. There's some promises you can stand on. Say, Lord, make your word come true. Lord, fulfill your word. Lord, we would see this in our day. Bring it to pass, Lord. Let the enemy know he can't have these people. He can't have these nations. They belong to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Promises to stand on. So, I'll leave that with you. A little bit of ammunition there. Looking at Ephesians 4 again, in particular, verse 23 highlighted there, where he says to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's why when Adam said to be sharpened in our understanding of the Lord this morning, it caught my attention, because this is what the Lord has been saying to me. We need our thinking to be renewed and to be lifted up to another level because we haven't been thinking the Lord's thoughts as much as we ought to be. And Isaiah says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And that's why we need to have our thinking, our minds renewed in the spirit of your mind. So, I have some notes on being renewed in our thinking, and they're kind of, I got notes here that go crooked, and I got notes that go along the side, and I got do the up and just up and down, not the across. And the first thing that that needs to be said is that this idea of being renewed, be renewed in your thinking, it is a continual renewing. Be continually renewed. Keep on being renewed. It's not one time only that I got a new thought today and that's good for the rest of my life. Be renewed all the time. It's a continual process. And last week I talked about how there's revelation and there's education. And we need both of these things to be happening in our lives. God needs to be revealing things to us because that's how we get lifted up to the level of His thoughts. But there's also a process where He educates us in what His thoughts mean and how it works out in our lives. And the whole process is called enlightenment. It's not merely education. It's enlightenment. It's not just rote learning. Because revelation is involved, the Holy Spirit is involved. It's a spiritual process that takes place at a spiritual level. And Elijah, are you up there? You ready to move through the slides? Let's go to slide number 2. I don't see any action. There we go. Just some scriptures that go along with the points I'm making. A spiritual process at a spiritual level. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And Paul, writing in Corinthians, says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. And 2 Peter, he writes that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual process. The Holy Spirit has to work in it. And it's the Word of God which brings that life to us. It's not just the intellect. We can't figure it all out. Now, there is institutions out there. There's a Bible college just south of town, an excellent, wonderful place. But they're dedicated largely to the proposition that you can figure it out with your mind. You take the scriptures and you figure out the principles and apply them to your life as best as you can. That's not the whole story. We need the Holy Spirit involved in that process. And that's why you need to ask the Lord. And Elijah, we can move to the next slide. You need to ask the Lord. Come as a child. Because that's who God delights to show things to. Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. And you see our calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. That as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Kind of a summary of that whole. There's more verses in that passage than are up there. But you know what we did this morning, standing up, crying out to the Lord, praying? What foolishness. Foolishness. Weakness. Is that all you've got? Where's the armies? Where's the soldiers, the tanks? How are we going to affect things in the world? Where are the billions and trillions of dollars it takes to move events in the world? Well, the Scripture says we have something more powerful than all that when we pray. When we cry out to the Lord. But the world thinks that's foolishness. It looks foolish. And if the Lord has shown anything to you, if the Lord has given you any revelation, congratulations, you are among the foolish and weak of the world. You are not among the wise and the noble. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that all those good grades I got in high school and college didn't mean a thing to you. Thank you, Lord, for considering me foolish and ignoble. We need to come to Him. And these are promises, too. We can come to Him with humility as a child and say, Father, what's going on? Father, show me. Father, help me. And the Lord delights to do that for His children. All right, next slide, Elijah. We need the Spirit. We are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, our soul, the center of our being where God's Spirit dwells. His Spirit dwells there within our human spirit to renew it and give us life there. And we need to feed the Spirit, feed our spirits with a diet that the Holy Spirit approves. We need to feed our spirit with things that God's Spirit approves. We see some scriptures there talk about the Spirit Himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? One of the scriptures the Annas looked at, I believe, the other night, about the temple of God and the Spirit dwelling within us. James 4:5, do you think the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. The Spirit wants good things for us. But we need to feed on a diet that He approves of. And we live in an entertainment-driven culture. Our souls are continually being besieged by entertainment and advertisement and messages that are promoting the worldview of our culture. There is a continual onslaught of, all you do, turn on your TV, turn on your radio, whatever, the internet, and there's this continual barrage of things. And, you know, whatever it is, whether it's soap operas or movies or books or Downton Abbey or all kinds of things, but these things all come with the values and the messages of the world that created them. And we need to be careful about what we feed our souls on, feed our spirits. One of the areas where I've been concerned for the church in recent years is how much conservative Christians have fed themselves on guys like Rush Limbaugh, and Sean Hannity, and Glenn Beck, and these guys on talk radio, who sound many times like they agree with us, but in reality, when you get behind them, they are not men of the Spirit of God. They are of the spirit of this age. They're inspired not by the Holy Spirit, but by the lust and greed for mammon, they will admit and have said out loud that we should not take them seriously. They are entertainers. They're doing it for the dollar. They found a message that makes money for them. They're not prophetic. They are profiteers. We could apply that to a lot of different things. The world is very entertaining. The spirit of this age wants to lull us to sleep. We need to be careful how much we imbibe. Deuteronomy 8:3, a scripture that Jesus quoted back to the devil when he was tempted in the wilderness. In Matthew 4:4 or Luke 4:4, you can read it. Man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so, those of you who have said we've got to be more in the Word this morning, it's where we need to be, because that's where the food is. When God spoke to Joshua is a word that many of us may have memorized in Sunday school or Bible camp. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And what God spoke to Joshua about the first five books of Moses, the law, we can apply to the whole of Scripture. This book, meditate in it day and night. Be like the gentleman in Psalm 1:2. The man that God blesses, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. That means he's thinking about it. He's chewing on it. He's studying it. He's reading it. Pondering it. Making it the food for his soul. You know, when we come to church, or we go to conferences and we hear special speakers, that's kind of like going out to the restaurant. And you order some good food at the restaurant, maybe food you don't ordinarily eat. But you can't dine out all the time. So you have to be able to provide meals for yourself of some sort on a regular basis, or you'll starve. Well, going to church, going to conferences, that's kind of like those special meals. But we need to learn to prepare some good, nutritious, home-cooked meals for ourselves on a regular basis. That's what your personal devotions, your personal Bible reading, Bible study is all about. Feeding yourself. This book here, this is the grocery store. This is the grocery store. This is your kitchen. You need to learn how to cook up some daily devotions for yourself. If that hasn't been our habit, and I know the Lord's been speaking to me, that hasn't been our habit, we need to get in the habit. Now, daily devotions don't make you more righteous. They don't save your soul, but they do make you stronger and healthier in your faith. And the Lord wants strong, healthy saints in the body of Christ. Spiritual discipline doesn't save you, but it does make you more muscular in your faith. Work it out. Because next slide, Elijah. We don't want to be malnourished. We don't want to be weak and sickly. We want to be strong. Because this is the goal that God has for us as a body, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of their deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all things into Him who is the head, into Christ. Now, there are a lot of nut jobs out there in the world. There's a lot of guys who are just crazy off the beam. And they don't mind dragging a whole lot of people out there with them. There's a lot of nut jobs out there. There's a lot of voices. There's a lot of people who are claiming to speak for Christ. There's a lot of people who are giving out a gospel that isn't necessarily the gospel. And we don't want to be sucked in by all of that. You want to be mature. You want to be strong. Don't want to be taken in, tossed about. Want to be wise and discerning. Next slide, Elijah. You want to be like the guy who is solidly foundationed on the rock, on Jesus Christ. I didn't put the other half of that passage up there because we don't want to be like the guy who built his house on the sand and his house was swept away, and the last verse of that chapter, great was the fall of it. We don't want to be that house. We want to be this house. It did not fall. The rain is going to come. The wind's going to blow. The floods are going to come. That's part of life. Whether we're in Christians living in Iraq who are being chased and hunted down by the Islamists, or we're Americans sitting here being besieged by entertainment because the devil simply wants to suck the life out of our souls. The stuff comes. We want to be the house that does not fall because we're on the rock, on Jesus Christ. We want to cultivate the habit, the practice, the discipline, the routine of renewing your mind daily, regularly. Bible study, prayer, worship, seeking the Lord, fellowship, those kinds of things. David sought the Lord morning, noon, evening, sometimes in his bed in the middle of the night. Jesus went off by himself and prayed all night sometimes. The record of all the whom we call the great saints of history. The great men of God, whatever names you want to name, throughout history, all of them were characterized by spending huge amount of times alone with God, seeking God. They were the men who'd get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and spend hours in prayer. I was just reading something about, I forget which one of the many gentlemen I've read about, that he spent so much time in prayer at the beginning of the day, but if he had an unusually busy day scheduled, then he would spend twice as much time in prayer because he knew he was going to need it. You know, and if guys like that, whether you're talking about John Wesley or Charles Finney, any of the revivalists, or you're right on up to Billy Graham today or whoever you're talking about, if they needed it, how much more must we need it? This isn't just for unusual, exceptional saints. This is meant to be the ordinary Christian life. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians and said, I want you to be renewing your minds continually, he wasn't writing to his fellow apostles. He was writing to ordinary people, believers, just like you and I. This little word came to me. The Lord was speaking to me about my thought life, but I'll pass this on. The Lord said, you need to set gatekeepers to your temple. You know, this body is the temple of the Lord. This body is the temple of the Lord. It's where the Lord dwells by His Holy Spirit. And the Lord said, you need to set gatekeepers to your temple. Gatekeepers to your mind. And so I looked at some of the scriptures in the Old Testament where it talks about gatekeepers at the temple. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 9 is one of the passages. This is one where David was setting in place the gatekeepers and their responsibilities. But if you follow through the history of the nation of Judah and you follow the revivals that came, because they would go up and down, they had their down periods, and then they would have a revival. And in every revival, one of the things that happened was they had to cleanse the temple. Because the temple had been neglected, or the temple had been abused, or the temple had even been filled with idols. So a good king would come in, and he would say, we're going to get back to God, and they would cleanse the temple. And we probably need some cleansing in our thought life and in our habits. Our temples probably need some cleansing. And then there would be a setting in place again, the gatekeepers. And this follows through all the way to the time of Nehemiah. When Nehemiah came, yet once again, they had to set the gatekeepers in place. We need gatekeepers to keep out the stuff that shouldn't be in there. The gatekeepers were in charge of the work of the service, gatekeepers of the tabernacle, keepers of the entrance to the camp of the Lord, the gates of the house of the Lord. They had an assignment. They had charge over the chambers and treasuries of the house of God. They had responsibility. They were in charge of opening it up every morning. The gatekeepers had vital things to do. The gatekeepers were to keep out the unwashed, unclean, unapproved. Not let anything into the temple that was not approved by God. And we need to make some decisions about what we will not let in. Things we will not watch anymore, not listen to, not absorb, or be influenced by. Finally, the last slide, Elijah. And this is from the account of Nehemiah. He came to Jerusalem. He discovered the evil that Eliashib, one of the priestly family, had done for Tobiah. Tobiah was an enemy, an Ammonite, didn't belong anywhere near the house of God. But in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God, they'd made a room right in the house of God for one of their enemies. And Nehemiah says, "It grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. I wish I could have been there and seen that." Wouldn't that make a great scene in the movie? They need to make a movie out of the life of Nehemiah. He took that stuff and threw it out. It does. The righteous indignation of the Lord was there, I'm sure. "And then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back in the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. And I also realized the portions for the Levites had not been given them. And so I contended with the rulers and said, 'Why is the house of God forsaken?' And I gathered them together and set them in their place." So we need to throw the Tobias out, whatever that might be in our lives, and engage in the things that will renew our minds in the Spirit every day, continually. Now, if you don't engage in daily renewal, there's not much the church can do for you. There's not anything really that Steve or John or I or Adam or anyone can really do for you on Sunday mornings if the rest of the week you're not renewing yourselves. You will limit both what you contribute and what you are able to receive. Be renewing yourselves continually in the spirit of your mind. Well, that's our exhortation this morning. Lord, we just present all of this to you, Father. We need renewal of our thinking. We need the Holy Spirit to come in and help us daily. And Lord, you know the things that you've got your finger on in our lives that don't belong there. Help us to get grieved like Nehemiah was and to take action and to throw those things out of our lives. They don't belong. So that we can get busy with the things that concern you, which are even the affairs of the nations. So, Lord, help us. We want to be the ones who step in the gap, Lord. We want to be the ones who receive the promise of being a Goshen people, Lord. You have spoken to us, be prepared. Be prepared. Help us, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue with us as we fellowship this afternoon. Amen.